Thank you. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 13, Jesus Christ said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Good News of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May some become the salt of the earth and the light of the world through your Holy Spirit of love and truth. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and contact information along with last week's sermon and all of our sermons, both in text and audio on it, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Our prayers go out to my cousin's family, the Wayne Smith family of Springtown. We lost sweet Wayne this past week. Wayne was of the greatest generation that ensured our freedom during World War II. Wayne was a true war hero. He was a medic who, as the Germans were counter-advancing in Italy, went back to get a young man on the battlefield who had been wounded, and he himself was wounded by German gunfire. They were both taken prisoner of war, and Wayne spent the next 23 months as a German prisoner of war. But he nursed this other man back to health, and I have no doubt that had Wayne not gone back to save this young soldier, that soldier would have died. Wayne was, and his entire family is, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Today's Bible reading comes from Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 19. The Bible says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. There are many, many, many reasons to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to do what Jesus Christ said for us to do: love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. But I believe the best reason is that no matter how bad or how good life is for we followers of Christ and believers in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, life after death only gets better. I love life. Perhaps too much. I have a streak of hedonism in me. That is, I like the pleasurable things in life. I told you several weeks ago about how I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day for many, many years, and one day came to the realization that I was addicted to cigarettes and finally gave up smoking because it was too expensive and too harmful to my health and to the health of my loved ones around me and those around me. But for all of my addictive pitfalls, I certainly enjoyed smoking. I loved looking at the blue sky, or at night, like the other night, I stood out on our patio out back and looked up at the zenith of the sky and saw a full moon. I've been told that during January of each year, the moon passes almost directly overhead at the zenith. And I've also been told that that's a wolf moon. Because our Earth is tilted when we go around the sun during the year's time, we see these heavenly objects, the sun, the moon, the stars, at different angles to us. During the winter, the sun for us here in Fort Worth, Texas, is in the southern sky, and then it passes over us in June, and between June and December, it rises and sets in the northern sky. See, I told you I love these things. Nature, the handiwork of God. Pat and I have several bird feeders in our yard, and we love to watch the blue jays and the cardinals and the juncos and the finches and the sparrows and all of the little animals, as Pat and I call them, come into our backyard and feed. Life to me is beautiful, but I know without a doubt that when I die, life will be even better in heaven. But now, I love our fellow human beings. I do. Jesus Christ told us to love one another, love your neighbors yourself, and love your enemies. In the parable, the Bible reading for today, just as in other parables told us by Jesus Christ, these are not literal stories. These are stories told by Jesus to have us understand God a little bit better, as much as we human beings and our limitations can understand God. Because God, for all of us, as long as we are alive, will remain a mystery. I'm always wary of anyone who tells me they know their Bible. When someone starts to tell me that Jesus Christ approves of the war in Iraq because he said he came to bring us a sword, here's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:34. Jesus Christ said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." So Jesus Christ does indeed bring a sword to those who begin to follow him. That sword is given to you and to me in order to cut us off from our old life, our life of sin, our life of death, and our life of destruction. This sword is not to make war on others, even your enemies, because in Luke 6:27, Jesus Christ said, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also." That sword of God that Jesus Christ brings to us cuts cleanly the ties of the old human being, and like a newborn babe, we are reborn in the image of God as followers, as disciples of Christ. If you look at a family, any family in America or anywhere all over the world, for that matter, you'll find divisions. You'll find political divisions, liberal, conservative, Shia, Sunni, whatever. And you'll find sports divisions. Look at the Cowboys and the Cheddar Heads. But the most divisive thing, seriously, in any family is religion. That's where the Sunnis and the Shia should have gone. When a family raised in a home without God is reborn and begins to follow Jesus Christ, family divisions will almost always result. behavioral scientists have known this since the late 19th century, and Jesus Christ knew it 1900 years before them. Even today, one spouse who begins to follow Christ while another remains without God, that marriage is going to be tested. Funny, during this political season of choosing our next president and our political representatives, many call for family values, quote unquote. Now, I do not believe that's the best thing for anyone to do. We must have Christian values, not family values. I mean, Charlie Manson, the gruesome mass murderer who had his family help him kill so many people, had family values. He was loyal to his family. What Charlie Manson doesn't have is Christian values. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly." That's how we understand things, through a glass darkly. Looking through a glass, a dark glass. We don't, any of us, see God clearly now. None of us understand clearly what Jesus Christ said, even on his parables in Luke 8:10, when his disciples asked him what the parable of the sower had meant. Jesus Christ said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that listening they may not perceive, or looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." And here Jesus Christ is quoting the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verse 8, who said, "Bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and the deaf, even though they have ears." I began today quoting Jesus Christ saying in Matthew from the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus never explains to us what being the salt of the earth means. What values do we take on when we are the salt of the earth? I read a definition not too long ago which satisfies me, that the salt of the earth are those among us who are decent, dependable, and unpretentious. Aren't these the values we look for in ourselves and in others? Decent, dependable, and unpretentious. Not some code phrase like, quote, family values, unquote, that means anything but family values. Family values is a code like the phrase compassionate conservatism. It's designed to get votes for the Republican Party. That's all they are. These codes mean, in political language, we stand against homosexuals being in the church, and we stand against women being in the pulpit, and we stand against anyone not sharing our worldview of politics being in an administrative position in our church. Neither of these codes means anything close to what Jesus Christ said, to love one another, to love your neighbors yourself, and to love your enemies. We may have difficulty understanding some or all of the parables or even the hard radical sayings of Jesus Christ, but there is no misunderstanding about Jesus Christ saying to love one another, to love your enemies, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is crystal clear. I read a letter to the editor in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram last week. This person wasn't going to worry about certain things in 2008. One of these things was religion. Here's what the letter writer said about religion. Quote, "The purpose of religion is to provide aid and comfort, not to play politics and destroy," unquote. We all know what it means to be decent and dependable. But in this context, what would unpretentious mean? Well, unpretentious means that you're not pretending to be someone you're not. If you say you're following Jesus Christ, but you're not doing what Jesus Christ said to do, love your enemies, love one another, and love your neighbor as yourself, aren't you just a pretend Christian? Aren't you just pretending to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You're then pretentious. One of the reasons Jesus Christ was so hard on the Pharisees and the scribes is because they pretended to be clean. They pretended to be pure for God, but in fact, they were not. In Matthew 23:25, Jesus Christ said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may become clean." So when we follow Christ, we first clean the inside of the cup, so the outside also may become clean. Now, Jesus Christ is not talking about washing the dishes, although all of you men out there listening to me, you wash the dishes as much as your wife washes them, and you kids too. You help out around the house. You eat on the dishes. You wash them. In fact, you men learn to cook. You eat. You should be able to cook. You're no longer your mama's baby anymore. You're a grown man and should be able to take care of yourself. You want to know one of the first things we were taught in the Marine Corps boot camp? And Marine Corps boot camp is recognized the world over as the hardest and roughest of all military boot camps. As a Marine, the first thing we learned is to how to take care of ourselves, how to wash and iron and mop and sweep and pick up after ourselves. And then we're put on mess duty to cook the food and wash the dishes and wash the pots and the pans. No, Jesus is not talking about cups. We are the cup that first must be cleaned inside before the outside can be cleaned. So we will be unpretentious so people will know when they see us that the inside is just as clean as the outside. This is why Jesus Christ told the multitude that day of his Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Some people go to church with the belief that if they go often enough, they will become Christians. That's like believing if you sit in your garage long enough, you'll turn into a car. Being unpretentious is being our true selves, our real nature. Are we saved by the blood of Christ to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Do we ask sinners to join us, or do we give the cold shoulder to sinners because they're not good enough to be with us in our church? Remember, we are all sinners. Just that we followers of Jesus Christ have been forgiven. Lazarus, in our Bible reading for today, was not as blessed during this life as I am. Maybe you are. I'm not talking about material wealth. Pat and I don't have much material wealth. Although the wealthy need to hear this message from God, that their earthly wealth is not their own. They did not get their wealth on their own. They did not earn it and work for it, no matter how hard they work for it. All of their earthly possessions come from God. They need to understand that. Just as we followers of Jesus Christ, did not become saved by our working for salvation. We need to understand this. Salvation was freely offered, and we accepted. Remember that old saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." And like those with earthly wealth, Jesus Christ is telling us in this wonderful parable about Lazarus and the rich man to share our blessings. These are our spiritual blessings, not only our earthly blessings, our earthly wealth, to especially share our spiritual wealth with others, with all others throughout all of the world. So I end with this. Are you the salt of the earth, decent, dependable, unpretentious? Are you a real follower of Jesus Christ? Or are you just a pretender? Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ from which all humanity flows into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and the clarity of soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity. And we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth. That love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, to live as the salt of the earth, to be that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil world and the sinful world, you can change that right now here on the radio. You can have God help you either become included or become an includer in the church. You can do that right now. No matter what's in your past, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ now in the twinkling of an eye. And you're no bigger sinner than I was and am. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, you ask for forgiveness right now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but pray with me now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And then this coming Wednesday evening, find a church close by, no matter what denomination. And if you're physically able, you go to that church. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays, and that's the very best way to get to know God, by studying His Word. That's the true sword that Jesus Christ brought to us. And then next Sunday, go to church. Any church, but go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. Go to church, any church. Forget about denomination, and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. This is the reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. Find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party. And find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008. As we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. Hello to all of our shut-ins at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, and all of our shut-ins joining us no matter where you are. Several listen to us on the Internet. Thank you so much. You are a blessing, believe it or not, to Pat and me. Please write or email me, and let's work together for the love of Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. And you can help Pat and me in this ministry by sending a tax-free donation of any amount to us. Your generosity, God's generosity living in you, will be known by God and will help us spread the good news of what Jesus Christ said. We need money to pay the radio bills and the transportation bills and the other bills. And I want to look to the future, too. I'd like to go to other radio stations, other cities. And as I said, I'd like to set up some place where we can preach during the week to a tent or rent someplace. But we need money to do that. Be sure and keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry by going to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like to close the program with, please let me know. We got a doubleheader today. The first song, a very short one, is from Zaire, Bika Monove, which in Ketubah language means "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," which I thought was especially appropriate today since Jesus Christ is telling us not to pass by Lazarus, but to reach out and bring the Lazaruses of the world into God's church. And the second song is "It Is Well With My Soul." I'll tell you just a little bit about "Well With My Soul." It was written by Horatio Gates Spafford, who was born in 1828 and died in 1888. But he lost all four of his daughters in a tragic accident at sea in 1873, and his wife was saved, and as she got to London, she telegraphed Spafford back home and said, "Saved alone." Then Spafford took a ship to England, going past the place where his daughters had died in this terrible ship accident. And according to his other daughter, Bertha Spafford, the hymn was written, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written in 1873 in the mid-Atlantic. You just cannot believe the wonderful words. And just think of this. The man had just lost four daughters. The group singing this is Selah, S-E-L-A-H, from their greatest hit CD. And they are well known. Anyway, here is Selah singing Bika Monove and is well with my soul.
With my soul.
Selah, singing Bika Monave, and It Is Well With My Soul. Are we the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Jesus Christ said for us to love one another, to love your neighbors yourself, and to love your enemies. Are we decent and dependable and most of all unpretentious? Are we the real followers of Jesus Christ? The real proof of God's love is how we treat others, both Christian and non-Christian, both saved and sinner. The mercy of God working through us is the real salt of the earth. Please come back next time. We're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.